Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, and Steve Kalishevsky.
Good day, sir.
Good day, good day. We are excited to be joining with you in the extra hour. We have so much to share. We're going to be talking about the wave that is happening across the country. People are awakening. A tipping point has occurred. But you know, guys, we've been sharing, and particularly the last couple of days and last week, but here for some time now, we've been talking about a really powerful prayer that we've been praying and others have as well. And it seems like every week there are new developments and new changes across the country in terms of abortion, in terms of the right to life. I mean, we've been praying this prayer, dear God, end abortion, send revival.
Right, yeah.
And God is responding. I mean, God is responding. And it's not something that's going away. You're seeing state to state pass laws and people getting engaged. And now that you have so many folks on both sides really, really looking at this issue and saying, you know, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? Listen, since Roe versus Wade, 50 million plus babies, 50 plus million have been aborted. That means aborted, killed, murdered.
Mm.
You gotta understand that the Holocaust was 6 million Jews were exterminated. I mean, 10 more million, and that's 10 times the amount of the Jews that were exterminated and killed during Hitler's reign.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is so important. And we say 50 plus because now you have the Plan B pill and those are the ones that we know about.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, those are the ones you can actually they have on record.
Yeah.
Well, an interesting article that was in Charisma, written by Larry Tomczak, a friend of ours that we're familiar with, and he writes, and the title of this article is called, Did Wendy Davis, Pro-Abortion Filibuster, Mark a Pro-Life Tipping Point? And I don't, you know, it could have, but I think that tipping point has passed. I mean, we're over the tipping point, I believe, right now.
Way past.
And Wendy Davis, if you remember, she was the woman who stood up in Texas. She was the legislator there that had the 11-hour filibuster without eating, drinking, or taking a bathroom break for 11 hours to come against the abortion law, the restriction in Texas that would ban abortion after 20 weeks. And, yeah. And so it was 11 hours, and they had a special session. They've called another special session, and they're in the process now of I think they just voted on it, and now has to go through another voting process. And the Governor Rick Perry is and the Lieutenant Governor of Texas saying, it's going to pass. It's going to be law here in Texas. This is going to happen. But she in her failed attempts, and it's quoted here in this article, that in her own words, she was furious. Furious. Now, you got to understand that there have been protests, and in particular, there have been some protests in Texas where you had civilians, some Texas civilians that were, you know, they're whether, you know, voting and, you know, trying to pass a law, state capitol, that were singing Amazing Grace during this time. They came to show their support. At the same time, there were other Texas citizens that were hailing Satan. That you heard that correctly. I mean, the Blaze is reporting this. In fact, there's pictures that we'll have available for you on the Torch. But this was a, you know, just two sides of this. In fact, we have a video, and you can listen to it real quick, and you can hear for yourself just a little bit. You'll hear some singing, Amazing Grace, but in the background, it's hard to kind of tell. But you hear some chanting. And the Blaze is reporting that the chanting that you kind of, it's hard to make out, they're hailing Satan, giving Satan credit for the abortions. Listen up. You heard her. She said, "Hail Satan." And you can see that in the video. Hail Satan. Those are supporters for abortion. And it's like, I mean, who's behind the killing of 50 million children? I mean, who is behind that?
Right.
And you understand, if you ask the question, what does Jesse Jackson, Justin Bieber, Celine Dion, and Tim Tebow have in common? All of them, according to reports, their mothers were told advised to have an abortion.
Mm. Wow.
You know, that's Tim right. Tebow's mother, she was in the mission field, and they mm-hmm. told her that, you know, your child's not going to make, I believe they told her she wasn't going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh no, we're going to have this baby. Mm-hmm. And here Tim Tebow is alive today.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't listen to the doctor.
Yeah, that's right.
To abort her child. As I understand it, Celine Dion was one of 10 children. And allegedly, someone was giving her mother some counsel regarding abortion. And as the story goes, a priest was able to intercept that counsel there and say, I don't think you want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And Celine Dion, the singer, she's alive today.
That's right.
Justin Bieber's mother. We shared this on the Torch.
Yeah.
But my understanding, and they're quoting here in Charisma, that apparently she was a young teenage mother, and they were persuading her to have an abortion. And she said, no. I'm not going to have that. No.
Right. Right.
And Justin Bieber is alive today. And Reverend Jesse Jackson, and he's quoted as saying that he was born out of wedlock. And against the advice that this is quoting Jesse Jackson and against the advice that my mother received from her doctor, and therefore, he says abortion is a personal issue for him. And he's further quoted by saying that from my perspective, human life is the highest good, the summum bonum, human life itself is the highest human good. And God is the supreme good because he is the giver of life. That is my philosophy. Everything I do proceeds from that religious and philosophical premise. Life is the highest good, and therefore you fight for life using means consistent with that end. And he goes on to say that life goes on to say the same thing. Then he goes on later on to say that therefore life is the highest human good because life is sacred. And this is in an open letter that Jackson wrote to Congress. He says, as a matter of conscience, I must oppose the use of federal funds for a policy of killing infants.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a few people that we know in our culture, in our world today that are alive. And you know, Jesse Jackson, Celine Dion, Tim Tebow, Celine Dion, and we're alive today. I mean, if you're listening today, your mother didn't abort you.
That's right.
And you have a life, and you matter, but right. Every life matters. You know, in the Gosnell case, apparently Gosnell, this is the abortionist in Philadelphia, he kept the remains of some of the babies that were aborted, about 47 of them. And I guess they decided, he's in jail right now, he's in prison, serving 3 life sentences. But there was Frank Provone with the Priest for Life organization, and we shared about him on VFN Radio. he was petitioning the court to see about, you know, they want to give them burials, the babies that passed, they did, and they cremated the remains. But yeah, look at that, like 47. I mean, what is, come on now, mm-hmm. come on now. Ronald Reagan, and I didn't know this, but former President Ronald Reagan wrote a book, and it is called, let me get it here for you, he wrote a book, Abortion and the Conscience of the Nation. And he states in his book that abortionists who reassembles let me repeat that again. This is from Ronald Reagan's book, Abortion and the Conscience of a Nation. The abortionist who reassembles the arms and legs of a tiny baby to make sure all of its parts have been torn from its mother's body can hardly doubt whether it is a human being. Mm. Isn't that something?
Wow.
The abortionist who reassembles the arms and the legs of a tiny baby to make sure that all of its parts have been torn from its mother's body can hardly doubt whether it is a human being. I mean, this is what's happening. Mm. And now you're seeing laws, you're seeing people waking up, you're seeing staffers that are working at abortion clinics that are falling under conviction, they are under deep guilt, and they're testifying, recording what the abortionists have been saying. I mean, they've been telling ladies and girls that it's a tissue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tissue. But I don't know if you know this, guys. Arkansas, we talked about a lot of these different states. I'm sorry, North Dakota. North Dakota passed a law that actually is being challenged right now, but they passed a law. I'm trying to get it here for you. They passed a law that basically bans abortion after 6 weeks. 6 weeks, and that's when they can actually hear a heartbeat.
Mm.
6 weeks.
Wow.
Amen.
And it's the strictest law in the nation right now in terms of abortion. But that's something that's so, so serious. And that passed. I mean, it's going to affect in August.
Wow, that's awesome.
Think about that. 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Arkansas passed a law that said that restrict abortion to just 12 weeks. But you're seeing states like Texas, you're seeing states like Florida, you're seeing states like Wisconsin, Ohio, that here recently have said, listen, we got to pass law against this.
Mm-hmm.
We got to pass law against this. And, you know, Larry Tomczak says in his article, which is, I mean, he says, listen, everybody has to wake up. I mean, people are waking up all across the country and they're mm-hmm. realizing, even those that were supporters of abortions are realizing something's not right here. Something's not right. And he goes on to say that in light of the above and all the stuff that he talks about the statistics and how many abortions have been committed since 1973, all of us in America truly have a wonderful opportunity to press the pause button and to reassess our position mm-hmm. on abortion. You don't want to get so locked into an opinion because of culture, because of your environment, because of what you were raised, or even what you have done in the past. An open-minded person says, they give thought to their ways. They're reflective. They think about, just because I thought of this one way before doesn't mean that I need to stick to, you know, my guns and say this is the way it is. I need to reevaluate and open my mind and have dialogue mm-hmm. and to evaluate, do I still believe what I believe
mm-hmm.
in particular about abortion? He goes on to say, to deny the reality of this unmistakable human evidence would be outright dishonest. I mean, it's a serious conversation that right now the nation's having.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at it in recent times, you couldn't even talk about abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, you just really couldn't even talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And prayer. We're going to talk about, in the extra hour, we're going to talk about the power of prayer. And we're going to talk about how it just shapes and changes things. And it's just so amazing. He goes on to say that 14 other states are now either endorsing 20-week abortion bans, bills, or are tightening standards for abortion clinics. You know, Norma McCorvey, who was used, her case was used in Roe versus Wade, she basically testifies later that she was lied to, that they used her case, you know, and since then, she's actually given her life to the Lord. She has counseled and supported many women and girls that were going to get an abortion, and she has counseled them and given them insight and let them know. And we've even played videos. You can see them all on The Torch. Just search the word abortion in the right-hand corner. You can actually hear Norma McCorvey yourself. This is a landmark case, 1973, Roe versus Wade. You can hear her talk about her story. And in fact, she never, ever committed or had an abortion in that particular case. Did you know that in New York right now, 41% of pregnancies end in abortion? 41%.
Wow.
This is in the state of New York. He goes on to give further evidence and further, you know, he furthers his article and his statement and his opinion by stating that, you know, Black Americans, African Americans are awakening to what their leaders are calling the Black genocide. He goes on to say, Larry Tomczak, in this article in Charisma News, Planned Parenthood, which performs 330,000 abortions a year, one every 95 seconds, now takes more than $500 million of our tax money through government grants and performs almost 60% of its abortions on African American women. It's just Planned Parenthood. 60% of its abortions, Planned Parenthood abortions, are on African American women. And although African American women account for just 6% of the population.
Wow.
I mean, you think about this. 6% of the population, yet 60% of Planned Parenthood abortions come from African American women. Alveda King, who is the niece of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., she's quoted as saying that this has led the way in eliminating African Americans to the point where one quarter of the Black population is now missing because of abortion.
Wow.
Mm.
This is serious. And then, of course, I shared about what Ronald Reagan shared, former President Ronald Reagan, in his book about abortion and the conscious of a nation. I'm telling you that we're coming to a point here where there's a huge wave. There's a huge wave occurring, and people are responding and saying, listen, I am reevaluating. Mm-hmm. I am reevaluating. It's for so long people have been able to disconnect themselves from the realities. As long as it didn't happen in my house, as long as it didn't happen in my family, as long as, you know, everything was kept under hush-hush and whatever. But now with prayer, you know, God has been answering.
Amen.
Mm.
Now with prayer, with technology, and God's using technology, and young ladies and women alike, and sons and daughters are able to see videos and hear testimony and say, wait a minute. There's a baby in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a baby in there.
Yeah.
People are awakening to the fact that the Constitution applies to all citizens. And what the Baby Alive Bill did in Florida, House Bill 1129, said that if there was a botched abortion and the baby survives, that baby is a citizen and this baby has rights. And we need to do everything we can to support this baby to live.
Right.
And remember in the debate when we shared this on BFN Radio, there was a whole discussion, you know, and they were interviewing a woman from Planned Parenthood, and they were saying, well, what if this happens in a remote place and there's no access to a hospital and there's a botched abortion? And the congressman was saying, what's the point? Yeah. Doesn't matter. You know, get them to a hospital. Do whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were in a car accident in a remote place and you had your leg busted open, do we just leave you stranded for dying
there? Leave
you
on the street, yeah.
Or do we do our very best to take you however many hours it is to save your life?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that statement alone says that there's no value there. And if we don't value the things that God values, you know, God, let me tell you something. All the innocent blood still cries out today.
That's right.
It still cries out. And so we have this opportunity, all of us in this country, all of us, believers alike, because there's a lot of abortions that have been done by Christians, by believers, to say, listen, God, you've got my attention. I see what's happening. I am aware of what's happening, and I want to stand for truth. I don't want it in my life, and I don't want to support it anywhere else, and I want to stand. You understand that since legalizing abortion in 1973, the number of unborn babies, the ones that have been killed and murdered, it's about 50 to 55 million plus. If you were to combine the populations, this is what that total now exceeds or is equivalent to the combined populations, listen to this, of the cities of Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Dallas, Denver, Detroit, Houston, Los Angeles, Miami, Minneapolis, New Orleans, New York, Philadelphia, Phoenix, San Francisco, Seattle, St. Louis, and Washington, D.C.
Wow.
Combined.
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 Wow.
Let's stand together. Let's stand together and see these atrocities be done with, over. Let's turn our hearts back to God. Let's cry out for God and say, God, no more. And join us with this prayer, a simple yet powerful prayer. Dear God, end abortion and send revival.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
You have to put your money where your priority is.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller, and that's marriage expert Dr. Gary Chapman, who says that as a couple, if you truly value your relationship, you'll invest the time and money needed to protect and nurture it.
You see, I find couples that are saving their money to build a house or buy a new car or whatever, and by the time they get around to the house or the car, they've lost the marriage. And a house is meaningless without a marriage. So, you make marriage your priority, and then you put your money where your priority is. And you organize your life around that. That means you may sacrifice in some other areas, but we're going to make time for each other.
An important reminder there to talk about and set priorities and invest in the thing that really matters and will last your lifetime, your marriage relationship. Now, for specific ways to have some great date nights and to hear more from Dr. Chapman, stop by FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
You know, Jesus said in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the vine, talking of himself.
Right.
You, us, believers, are the branches,
mm-hmm.
and his father, our father, mm-hmm. is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go. You know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N,
mm-hmm.
and spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about, as he called us, called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years of my church.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that, because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now, you might be thinking, okay, I got the call, I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand what does that mean. You know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And we tried. So once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. It said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing. Mm-hmm. And we started the 30-year journey. Mm-hmm. And in that, how can we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time to help people get perspective
right.
of what Vine Fellowship Network's about, and it just integrates with the Word of God. It was just doing what God says, mm-hmm. you know. And so while Vine, which is Jesus is the vine, mm-hmm. fellowship is what the church does, and network. We all stay together and stay rightly related, which is you know, Psalms 133, you know, right. and John 17:23. And so what came of that was called, we call it the Vine Seminar. The Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is, there's several different seminars now that's evolved in, but knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain, mm-hmm. how do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly,
right.
and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that. Mm-hmm. And he confirmed it every step of the way. We share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Fill it out. Let them know that you are interested in it. And we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Steve and Pat. And we're talking about, my goodness, the right to life, ending abortion, asking God to send revival. And we talked about, you know, before the break, all the cities, and all the combined total of their population that reached 50 plus million combined total. And in North Dakota, they passed this bill, and they passed this in March, and it takes effect in August. But mm-hmm. a lot of these laws that are being passed right now, you know, there's, of course, they're trying to block them and trying to come against them, and mm-hmm. and the judges are imposing, you know, mm-hmm. blocks. But in North Dakota, the bill that was passed, just so that you know what's happening, actually, it was two anti-abortion bills that passed that would be the first laws of their kind in the United States and would ban most abortions in the state. This is huge.
Wow.
One bill would prevent women from having abortions as soon as the fetal heartbeat can be detected. I mean, how powerful is that?
Wow.
I mean, that alone. That's huge. Why? Yeah. I mean, that should be standard across the board. Hopefully, this would be precedent.
Right, right.
But if there's a heartbeat, I mean, let's guess a heartbeat.
Must mean it's alive.
Well, we shared on VFN Radio, and we'll make sure this is all related for you on the torch. You know, a lot of these states now are passing abortion restrictions that don't pass, you know, 20 weeks as the benchmark.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we show you a video on the torch of what a 20-week fetus looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a spine, they have neurological senses, they feel pain.
Yeah.
At 20 mm-hmm. weeks, that's what, 5 months?
Mm-hmm.
Full term is really 10 months. You deliver on the 10th month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's half of the baby's growth. Why would that not be normal? Why would that not be commonplace?
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding here that as early as 6 weeks, a heartbeat can be detected. Now, we believe that from the moment, you know, there's conception there.
Right, that's right.
I mean, the Word of God tells us that God knit us in our mother's womb.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so important. Because if you don't understand this, if you don't understand what the Bible says, this is why it's so important, too, that you base your mindsets, your opinions, your ideologies, your outlook, your paradigm on life, not based off of popular culture, not based off of good ideas, not based off of television programs and personalities and the politicians, but that you base your worldview, how you're going to live your life, on the word of God. I mean, there's many people today that are saying, Lord, Lord, and God this, and God that, and I love Jesus. Well, listen, if we love Jesus, then we're going to listen to what Jesus has to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a popular artist right now, singing artist, was quoted as saying that she wanted to have children, and she prayed a prayer, Lord, I want to have, you know, I want to have babies, and she prayed this all along, and it's like, there's a disconnect here, you know. It's like, Lord, Lord, but is he Lord? Is he God? I mean, there's a lot of people that are praying prayers, but listen, if you're not walking with God,
mm-hmm.
if you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus is not a lucky rabbit's foot.
Yeah.
God is not a good luck charm.
That's right.
God answers those that walk with him.
Mm-hmm.
But how could God reasonably answer us in our prayers if we are away from him, if we don't even know him? The prayer that God will answer all the time is, Dear Jesus, reveal yourself to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a prayer you never have to worry about. If you want to pray a prayer and you want God to speak to you, Dear Jesus, reveal yourself to me. God will reveal himself.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about ideologies, you're talking about mindsets, your opinions, we want to get those from the Word of God.
That's right.
But as George Barna told us in those statistics, that only 19% of believers are actually reading the Word. If you don't read the Word, how will we know what is on the heart of God? What's the character of God? What's the God's nature?
Yeah.
We've got to know what is God's heart and how he feels. And we base our decisions not based on the current public opinion poll, but we stay in truth to God's word. We stand in unison with God. Listen, it may not be popular, and it probably won't be. But do you want to be popular in man's eyes, or do you want to be right in God's eyes? This is so important. I want to encourage you, let's stand together. Let's continue to pray that powerful prayer, Dear God, end abortion, send revival. And let's continue to see this wave go across the country. Listen, there's some good things happening. There's some bad things happening. It's just a time for us to be humble and low. It's a time for us to stay low, stay dependent upon God.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the same time, you know, there's going to be some of the best of times and some of the worst of times. But this is a ray of hope. This is, you know, a bright spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that God is pleased. I mean, you know, right. And we can see this happen more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And why not 6 weeks? And why not just end it completely? Because you understand that before 1973, there were no abortions.
Right.
That means all the time. Legal abortions.
Legal.
Right. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
There was no legal abortions.
Mm.
Think about that. It's huge.
Yeah.
We can go back to that time.
That's right.
I go back to the time. I know, Steve, that you were talking to us out of what we have all come to really enjoy, John Bevere's
right.
book, The Bait of Satan,
mm-hmm.
and about offense. I mean, we've kind of just taken our time, and you've been sharing from that time to time. And it's really been great. I mean, the last one we shared was about not being a spiritual vagabond and how offense, if not dealt with, could keep you totally disconnected from your destiny and from what God wants to do in your life. I mean, talked about, hey, listen, we need each other. No man's an island. No man stands alone.
Mm-hmm.
And if family, you know, not just anybody, we're not talking about anybody pointing things out, but if family can't point something out, spiritual family that loves you, cares for you, wants to see God's best for you,
mm-hmm.
who's poured into you, discipled you, taught you the word of God,
mm-hmm.
prayed for you. If they can't share,
all right,
who can?
Yeah,
who can? Somebody's got to be willing to tell you something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, if we go through the process, then we can actually be prepared to be an instrument, a tool used in the master's hand.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue with Saul that we talked about was that Saul didn't have process. Saul feared man. He didn't fear God. And the difference between Saul and David was that David had process.
Mm-hmm.
He had some time in the cave. You know what I'm saying? He had some time to run in.
That's right.
But Saul didn't. And because that was never dealt with in Saul's life, Saul wound up losing the kingdom, and God wound up saying that he repented the day that he ever made Saul king.
Right.
Yeah, and it's just like thinking about the fact, like what you're talking about, it's those closest to us that we have to be open to speak truth in our lives. And God was really getting my attention this morning because I was thinking about the fact of the closeness of the disciples with Jesus. And you think about it, they spent 3 years with Jesus, day in, day out, breakfast, lunch, dinner, sunrise, sunset with Jesus. And in the last moments that Jesus was spending with his disciples, they had the Last Supper. And I think about it because there was that moment when Jesus made known to his disciples that there's somebody at this table who's going to betray me. And I think about the fact that there was never a greater time that any one of those disciples could have taken offense than the person who was closest to you was calling you out and was basically saying, hey, just want to give you guys a heads up. One of you guys is going to betray me.
Right.
And how quickly a spirit of pride could have just been like, no, not me, not me, not me. And when you can read about this is in Luke 22, is that when Jesus shared this, the word says that an argument broke out between the disciples about who's going to be greater in the kingdom.
Mm.
And he just like, wait, back up. What just got laid out in this conversation that Jesus, you know, you think about moments ago, Peter received the revelation who Jesus was. And then Jesus was being made known to all the disciples that, hey, I'm about to be betrayed. And how quickly they just focus back on themselves.
All right.
And it so caught my attention because in the midst of, I can just hear them bantering back and forth, and Jesus is talking about, you know, who needs to be the greatest. You know, is it the one who serves? Is it the one who sits at the table? But I'm amongst you and I'm serving you. And then in Luke 22, verse 31, this is Jesus saying, Simon. And I can just picture Jesus trying to get Simon's attention amongst all 12 of them going back and forth. You know, cups of wine are getting spilt over because people are starting to get physical and talking. And Jesus says, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fall. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And it's just like, can you imagine at that moment when Peter is just in the midst of talking and Jesus gets his attention and he looks at him and he says, Satan has asked to sift you. Talk about a paradigm moment. And to think about the fact that Jesus knew the most difficult storm that Peter was about to walk into. Jesus didn't, you know, pray against that storm, you know, because immediately we would say, you know, I bind that storm. I just come against the attacks of the devil.
Ooh.
And this is what John Bevere writes in his book, The Bait of Satan. He says, Jesus did not pray that Simon Peter would escape this intense shaking to the point of overthrow. He prayed that his faith would not fail in the process. That process that you talked about that David had, that Saul did not.
Right.
He prayed that his faith would not fail in the process. Jesus knew that out of this trial would emerge a new character, the one Simon Peter needed to fulfill his destiny and strengthen his brethren. Satan had requested permission to shake Simon Peter so severely that he would lose his faith. That's what Satan wants for us, is for us to get shaken so bad that we lose the fact of we're focusing on Jesus. He says the enemy's intent was to destroy this man of great potential who had received so much revelation that Jesus, you are the Christ. But God had a different purpose for the shaking. And as always, God's way ahead of the devil. He allowed the enemy to do this in order to shake everything in Simon Peter that needed to be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, There's some things in me that have got to get shaken out of my life that I think are important, because I'm thinking back on that revelation that God revealed to me, like, man, I got this. Or, you just think about, we rely on the fact of what God's speaking to us, but God's just like, no, I gave this to you so that you can hold on to this, because I'm about to take you through this.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get offended thinking about that hardship. But if you think about it, though, is Satan had to go to Jesus to say, hey, can I do this to this guy? And Jesus is like, yeah, that's cool. I'll pray for you. Meaning Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, how many times have I gone through those difficulties in my life, and I start coming against the hardships or the difficulties instead of just saying, Jesus, strengthen my faith.
Yeah.
Strengthen my just picture and my focus on you to get through this, because mm-hmm. this is meant to strengthen my faith and get rid of that which is
holding you back.
Exactly.
James talks about how we should welcome our trials as friends, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And the trials and the tribulations, you know, like I was, you know, you said earlier, can you get this away? This is not of God. Get this out of my, I rebuke this.
Right.
And it's like, wait a minute. God will use what he wants to use in your life to fulfill the purposes that he had for you. Mm-hmm. Because last time, you know, I checked, I didn't plan my own birth. You know what I mean? I think he was in control of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's trying to do something. That's the whole thing. God is doing something. He's writing a story, and it's like, don't mess it up and participate with what he wants to do. Because at the end of this, when these light and momentary troubles, light and momentary troubles are going to produce in you something that's as far greater than gold. It's going to last, you know. Oftentimes people want the testimony but don't want to go through the test.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to go through the, you know, have a testimony. They went through the fire, but don't even want to see smoke, flames, nothing. It's like, no, it's in the process. It's in the process of God allowing things to heat up so that the junk and everything else can be taken out, burnt out.
Hey, wooden stone.
And as God was speaking to John Bevere during this, you know, when he was getting into the word, he says that God spoke to his wife about the process of things that are getting shaken. And there's a purpose for things getting shaken in our lives. And John Bevere writes that this is what God spoke to his wife. He said, the purposes for shaking an object is a few things: to bring it closer to its foundation, to remove what is dead, to harvest what is ripe, to awaken, and to unify or mix together so that it can no longer be separated. And it was just like, there's a purpose for things that are getting shaken in our lives.
It's a purpose for everything that God's doing. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Thing is, are we going to cooperate with what God is saying and doing, or we're going to run from it? Are we going to be one that draws close, or are we going to be a spiritual vagabond and say, oh, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. And you got to determine at a certain point in your life, you know, how much of God do you want? How desperate are you for God? And do you want to be used by God? Let me tell you something. Life is but a vapor. We're here today, and we're going to be gone tomorrow. And from the moment that you are born, there's a time clock here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're born to die, and no one's promised tomorrow.
That's right.
Choose today to say, you know what? I'm not going to despise the trials or the tribulations or the struggles, but I'm going to understand that nothing can come at me, towards me, against me that God had not allowed. So God, help me to redeem this trial. Help me to redeem this situation for your purposes, and help me to go through this, Lord, so that I can get process in my life so that I can be prepared for the master's use.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at vfntv.com.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation. and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Well, yeah. I wasn't talking about that miracle. I was talking about another miracle.
Oh,
that one that you received.
Again.
Don't you remember?
Come on, man.
Help me out.
You were driving across the plains of America in the storms, and we're talking about the goodness of God in the land of the living. And we're talking about, this is what happened, Pat.
Obviously, he's just got amnesia.
So, you know, we're talking about the Lord and all these wonderful things that God's doing. And all of a sudden, he's in all this traffic. I don't know, probably 8 lanes of traffic, I'm imagining. I can ask him when we finish talking about him. and all of a sudden, he just interrupts our conversation with, "Oh, no!" And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness.
What happened?
Maybe he can't reach the accelerator. I'm thinking, what's going on? What's going on right here?
Get another phone book. Quick.
Yeah, go. Pillow. That pillow thing may have slid out. And so I'm thinking, this is dangerous in traffic. You know, you got to be able to reach those pedals. And all of a sudden, I didn't know what it was. And then finally, he let me know that he was out of gas.
Oh, are you serious?
He was out of gas, and he was like, it was raining. I can tell it was raining because his wipers were going, boom, boom. His phone picks up so good. I'm like,
everything.
I'm not going to get on a rabbit trail because I'd be lost. But anyway, and it was just over. He's going to be stuck on the side of the road in the middle of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, another state because he was heading back to his state. And we prayed. He prayed. I said, okay, I'll let you go.
Bye.
Well, I know how it goes.
I said, I'll let you go.
You didn't stay in prayer.
I'm sure you're going to wear this puppy out. I'll let you go. I'll let you go. And, you know, we just said a prayer for him. Dear God, help John.
Those don't seem to work.
And next thing you know, I get a phone call, and he gives me a testimony that God just caused the car to begin to run on fumes. It ran on fumes all the way to a gas station.
Oh, my God.
And he got gas.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That has never happened for me.
No. Well, John gets extra miracles.
He gets extra credit.
He gets totally extra miracles. You know, you're just too smart. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, we, you know what I'm saying? John and I need a lot more miracles than you.
We need a lot of miracles.
Yeah, that's amazing. So back to you, John.
Yeah, actually, I the car stopped.
You didn't look at the gas gauge.
Rain. Gas. And I got caught up talking to, you know, Mr. You Know Who. And so we're having this in-depth conversation. We're having such a great conversation. Oh, my goodness, I forgot to get gas. So
he knew this because his car began to jerk all over the road. Not because he looked in the direction of the gas gauge.
Needle, yeah.
Hiccups, you know, hiccups. And so it was an experience. It was an experience, to say the least.
Welcome back, BFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Steve and Pat.
Priceless.
You know, I am happy that I can be, you know, part of your humorous adventure here. I didn't start that. Listen, he's on the radio priceless. Today.
I was just helping a brother out.
He's got jokes. You notice he's got jokes.
Oh, he's got plenty of jokes.
Oh, well, I'm
sure he's been storing them up for us.
I've been storing some up, too.
Uh-oh,
I've been storing some up, too.
Watch it.
Stay tuned. It's going to be on.
It's on.
Like Donkey Kong. Anyhow, well, you know, as we're coming to the end of the extra hour, we've been talking about things that have been happening, my goodness, around the world, how Muslims are coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because Christians are praying. We're seeing how abortion is coming to an end across the country. A wave is happening. Why? Because of prayer. And we can't forget the power of prayer. You know, someone once said, what's the greatest, you know, opportunity to speak to God on behalf of men or to speak to men on behalf of God. I say both of them are great, but we have an opportunity to pray. We have an opportunity to seek God, and God wants us to participate in the affairs of men. I mean, listen, there's all sorts of prayer. I mean, you have adoration, you have praise, forgiveness, thanksgiving, but there's a prayer called intercession. Intercession is standing in the gap. Intercession is praying the heart of God on the face of the earth for whatever he lays on your heart to pray for. And you see, God's given us authority and dominion on the earth, and he wants to be invited to have his will done on earth.
Mm-hmm, right.
So what happens is that God oftentimes will burden us. He'll give us a burden that originated in his heart, and then we, through prayer, release and invite God to work with us. We partner with him, and he partners with us.
Amen.
To see his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. We synchronize heaven and earth together so that God's will can be done across the land. Let me tell you something. We can't forget about prayer. I read a great book by Dudley Hall called Incense and Thunder. I recommend it. And he says that when our prayers go up, God responds with thunder. God responds with answers. And in the beginning of the book, he shares an analogy, and he talks about how, you know, their libraries. This was before probably computers or data storage. Now we would say there are hard drives and hard drives and hard drives or shelves and books that contain amazing details of world events, things that happen, wars have been fought, battles have been lost, miraculous things that have happened, and many men and women have been, recognized, have been awarded medals, they've been, the whole world knows about them, what happened with this great feat.
Mm-hmm.
But he says there's also another book. There's also another secret storage, if you will, and that book that maybe most people don't even know anything about have the names of all the men and women, boys and girls, that prayed to God. That prayed to God about that situation that was about to happen. They prayed about, safe travels.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone, you find out later, the hero came in and stopped the day. And then, there was no accident. The person was spared. And uh-huh. Oh my goodness, 35 people could have died in this event. And so they give an award to Mr. Jones, and Mr. Jones is recognized as a hero. But the story behind the story, if you will, and the other book, it was maybe the fellowship that prayed before that,
right,
and halted that whole thing from happening.
Mm-hmm.
So God invites us. He looks in Ezekiel 22:30. He looks for a man. He looks for a woman to stand in the gap. Right. Somebody that says, God, I will pray. I will invite you. I will ask you to intervene in our situation. Listen, prayer allows us to be humble. I mean, it's humility. We can't do this on our own. The things that we're facing in our country, the things that's happening around the world, we've got to cry out to God.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to start with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
2 Chronicles 7:14, we're pretty familiar with that verse of scripture. But it's about God's people humbling themselves, calling out to God, turning from their wicked ways so that God can heal. He'll respond to what we do. You know what I mean? He's going to respond. But he's looking for us to stand in the gap. He's looking for us to seek him in prayer. And all prayer is communing, fellowshipping with God. James 5:16 says that the prayer of a righteous man, of a righteous woman, is powerful and effective.
Mm-hmm.
And again in Matthew 18:19 says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. There's power when we pray together. There's power when we pray alone. But there's power when we stand in the gap and say, God, we need you. It expresses our need and our total dependency upon him. And if you haven't been praying much, maybe you may be realizing that maybe I've been carrying this load on my own. I've been dealing with situations, making decisions. I've been running on autopilot. And I haven't even prayed. I haven't even invited God to intervene. I haven't even invited God to move on my behalf or on mm-hmm. their behalf. And oftentimes we're pretty good about praying for ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, that's called petition. God, I need you.
Right?
But intercession and oftentimes involves you praying for somebody else.
Right.
You getting on the front lines and saying, I am going to pray for somebody else so that God can show up. 2 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge you then, first of all, that request, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone,
mm-hmm.
for kings and for those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. I mean, God is encouraging us in his word that we just don't pray, you know, for ourselves. Hey, listen, pray for everybody. Pray for everybody. Pray for mm-hmm. every situation. Pray without ceasing. And, you know, you can live a life of prayer. But we can't forget the foundation of our walk with God. How can, you know, we walk with God and do his will if we won't even talk to him?
Mm, right.
Be encouraged. God wants to hear from you. God wants to partner with you. You can be a world changer without ever leaving your house. Because prayer knows no boundary. No wall can stop it. No distance is too long. Mm. Nothing can hinder prayer.
Mm.
There are many things that are powerful out there.
Mm-hmm.
But none can match to the power that's released when you invite God on the scene. And say, God, have your way. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today to talk to God. Pray to him. Open yourself up and say, Lord, have your way. And don't just pray for yourself or for your family. But decide that you're going to pray for somebody else. Pray for the President of the United States. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your local authorities. And pray for America and pray for everyone around the world
mm-hmm.
that there will be such a great awakening that nations can be one in a day. Listen, if one can send 1,000 a flight and two can send 10,000 a flight, what would happen with a large percent of the family and the body of Christ coming together, praying in unison? We're seeing God answer prayer now.
Amen.
Let's join together and see a great awakening happen across this world.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.